It is August 1st, 2022, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I am John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from the John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from our hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from Friday's newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. Condolences to my good friend Ryan McNally and his family on the passing of Ryan's father, Dr. Randall E. McNally. The Chicago Sun-Times has a rather lengthy obituary on Dr. McNally, who led a notable life. The obituary is titled, Dr. Randall E. McNally, Chicago's plastic surgeon who treated Napalm Girl in Vietnam, dead at 92. Ryan is a business development executive at Guavatech, Inc., who I met when he was at LIT America. He was very influential in helping me in my early years of electronic trading and brokering. On August 3rd, Bevan Joseph and the Greenwood Project, in partnership with Citadel and Citadel Securities, will ring the closing bell of the New York Stock Exchange. The Greenwood Project will be represented by 20 of its college scholars, many of them from Chicago. This is an event that should generate some press coverage from Chicago media, in my honest opinion. Hint, hint. It is a historic event. ASX has a new CEO starting today as Helen Lofthaus takes over as Chief Executive Officer of the Australian Exchange. The ASX published an interview with her titled, Meet Helen Lofthaus, ASX Chief Executive Officer, to introduce her as CEO. Marex is going to acquire ED&F Man Capital Markets as expected. Marex says the deal will strengthen the group's global franchise, expand client offerings in clearing, metal, fixed income, and equities, and create a leading U.S. franchise, as well as extend the company's global footprint to Dubai and APAC. Tony Saliba is getting some love from Insider today with a story titled, A Legendary Options Trader Who Banked 70 Consecutive Months of Profits Above Six Figures Shares His Top Four Tips. The Oxford Institute for Energy Studies is out with their June Forum publication, issue 132, that features an article by Owen Johnson of the CME Group titled, The Carbon Future Markets, Pricing Carbon Expectations. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Here's a special sponsored content from our friends at FTSE Russell. Russell 2000, the premier investable small-cap U.S. equity index. Explore our chart book, a complete interactive experience. Market performance, IPO, sectors breakdown, risk characteristics. Representing the U.S. small cap market segment, the total market capitalization of the Russell 2000 index decreased 14.3% from $3.5 trillion as of last June's reconstitution to $3.0 trillion. The largest company in the index with banding applied is Stag Industrial, with a total market cap of $6.4 billion, a 12.3% increase from last year's largest company. The smallest company in the index is Acutis Technologies, with a total cap of $240.1 million, a decrease of 6.6% from $257.1 million in 2021. There is a total of 308 companies joining the Russell 2000 index, with 39 dropping down from the Russell 1000 index, Russell Midcap Index, and 76 shifting up from the Russell Microcap Index, 25 of which are allocated to the financials industry and another 11 allocated to the consumer discretionary industry and 10 energy companies. 19 IPOs are being added to the Russell 2000, with 4 of them classified in the healthcare industry, while 176 companies are joining from outside the Russell U.S. Indices universe. The largest addition to the small cap index by size is Alight Industrials, with a total market cap of $4.5 billion. 315 companies are departing the Russell 2000 index. 21 companies are moving to the Russell 1000 index, 249 are moving to the Russell Microcap index, and another 45 companies are leaving the Russell US Indices universe altogether. You can click on a link in today's newsletter to download the quarterly chart book. Here's a story from Bloomberg. Price of beer in Australia surges to 15 Australian dollars a pint. Australian drinkers woke up to more than a hangover on Monday as accelerating inflation and a quirk in the tax system sent the price of beer surging. In its semi-annual CPI indexation review, the Australian Tax Office lifted the excise on a frothy by 4%. It was the largest increase in over 30 years, according to the Brewers Association of Australia. My comment. I can only imagine the cost of a beer at a rugby game. Here's another story from Bloomberg. The disastrous record of celebrity crypto endorsements, from Matt Damon's infamous ad to Reese Witherspoon's NFT partnership, celebrity crypto touts haven't gone well for fans. Matt Damon started touting crypto investing when Bitcoin was worth twice as much as it is now. Mike Tyson's NFTs have plunged more than 90% since he introduced his collection. And investors who allege they lost millions on a pump and dump scheme are suing Paul Pierce. Months into a rout for crypto assets, the full extent of the financial pain suffered by millions of everyday Americans is still being calculated. What's clear, though, is that scores of celebrities touted the life-changing power of crypto investing at the worst possible time, just as the speculative mania was approaching its peak. The entreaties to get involved in the space came in multiple forms, everything from big-budget TV ads trumpeting particular exchanges to cryptic tweets touting obscure tokens. My comment, don't follow the recommendations of celebrities for crypto is a pretty good rule. Here's another story from Bloomberg, also about crypto. Crypto newbies have family and friends to thank for losses. Many investors nursing big losses from the plunge in digital assets were introduced to crypto by loved ones, making for awkward conversations now. Brian Horrigan, a New York-based real estate executive, prides himself on keeping a portfolio of assets with modest but predictable returns. Yet, as cryptocurrencies rallied to records last fall, the 38-year-old made an uncharacteristically risky bet. Horrigan invested $20,000 in Bitcoin and Ether in October, hoping to turbocharge his plan to buy an apartment. His inspiration, Adam Jaramani, a close friend and crypto entrepreneur who was making a killing in digital tokens and had been enthusing about the sector for years. My comment, I guess we have to add that we shouldn't follow the recommendations of friends and family for crypto either. Here's a story from Fortune. Exclusive 30-year-old billionaire Sam Bankman-Fried has been called the next Warren Buffett. His counterintuitive investment strategy will either build him an empire or end in disaster. Sam Bankman-Fried does not look like the most powerful man in crypto. Friendly and rumpled with an unruly halo of curly hair, the 30-year-old, widely known as SBF, has an affinity for League of Legends, fidget spinners, and other trappings of nerd culture. But underneath the goofy facade is a trading wunderkind whose ambition knows no limits. An MIT physics grad, SBF honed his trading skills at renowned quant shop Jane Street Capital before launching a successful firm of his own, Alameda Research. In 2019, he founded crypto exchange FTX, hailed by some as the best derivatives platform ever built. My comment, I've been going through Sam Bankman-Fried profile withdrawal as we have not had one in a long while. Thank goodness for Fortune. Here's another story from Fortune. The recession debate is so intense that Wikipedia has blocked new users from editing its recession page because people keep changing the definition. it seems that no one can agree on the definition of a recession, let alone if we're in one right now. Some define it as two consecutive quarters of negative GDP growth, no matter what other indicators like strong labor market say about the economy. My comment, let's play nice out there. This is not generating economic growth one way or another. Here are the top three stories from Friday's JLN. Our top story Friday was lessons learned from Flash Boys from the trade. Second was the lonely office is bad for America. Peggy Noonan's column for the Wall Street Journal, illustrated with yet another parody of Edward Hopper's Nighthawks. Third was a tie between Monte Visioni's Alberta and Saskatchewan securities regulators expand self-certification investor prospective exemption to facilitate investment, and Bloomberg's Middle East's biggest oil hub disrupted by unusual rain. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. First from Bloomberg. Citadel Securities loses Flash Boys legal fight over IEX product. Appeals court upholds SEC approval for exchange's delimit order. Citadel sued SEC, alleging regulator botched approval process. Citadel Securities LLC lost its case against the SEC over a market order type from the IEX exchange of Flash Boy fame that features a 350 microsecond delay after arguing that the regulator botched its approval. A trio of federal judges in Washington on Friday upheld the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission's decision on the order type, the exchange operator's D-limit, whose delay is meant to reduce the advantage of high-frequency traders. The electronic trading firm founded by billionaire Ken Griffin argued that D-limit hurts investors by delaying their orders and that the SEC approval process broke the laws and rules that govern it. Here's another story from Bloomberg. Merricks agrees to buy ED&F Man brokerage in global expansion. Deal is one of final steps in restructuring of ED&F Man. Merricks has been expanding its business over the past few years. Merricks Group will buy ED&F Man Holding Limited's brokerage business, cementing its position as one of London's largest commodity dealers and expanding its business in the U.S. The acquisition of ED&F Man's capital market is expected to close by the end of the year, the company said in a statement Monday. The deal is valued at $220 million, according to people familiar with the matter, who asked not to be identified discussing private information. My comment, there's a link for the press release about this deal in today's newsletter. Here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. Industry has a message for Wall Street bosses. Beware the junior bankers, a cautionary tale for aging managers who get eaten alive by their underlings. Frightening forces converge in the finance drama industry, the screaming bosses, the bad market bets, and the unrelenting pressures. But perhaps scariest of all, at least to their superiors, are the 20-something strivers ready to unseat their elders. Generational tensions run high between the old guard and the young hungries in the second season of the HBO show starting Monday. The series about junior bankers at the fictional London company Pierpont & Company funnels the unease into the character of Eric Tao, played by Ken Leung. In the waters of the trading room, the 50-year-old managing director of cross-product sales is both shark and shark bait. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.